I want you to get a copy of God's Word. I want to read today a specific passage of Scripture in which we're going to speak from today, found over in the book of Hebrews, over in the 12th chapter of the book. And so I hope that you will look with me into the Word of God. Hebrews chapter number 12. We've been talking for 4 weeks now about forgiving the unforgivable. It's time for a funeral. And today we're going to be talking about executing an unforgiving heart. Once and for all, executing an unforgiving life, an unforgiving heart. The Scripture says these words over in Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15. Pursue peace with everyone and holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. And see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springs up, causing trouble, and by it defiling many. Father in heaven, we pray now in the name of Jesus that you will speak to us powerfully through the Word. Amen. Would you be seated? Sitting here in front of us today is a rendition of a coffin or a casket. To the sides is also a rendition, because in reality, all three are nothing more than boxes. I challenged you 4 weeks ago that I wanted you to evaluate your life with great scrutiny, asking and praying every day, God, is there anything or anyone that you want me to forgive? In a few moments from now, at the end of my message, what I'm going to do is that I'm going to ask you to take a piece of paper that I'm going to give you, and I'm going to give you a few minutes at the end of the message to write down some of those things that perhaps you need to release once and for all. Maybe a lot of things. It may take a few moments, a few minutes. It may take a little bit of time outside of this room. And then I'm going to ask you to come and place it in one of these boxes. We're going to take all that's there and we're going to bury it this afternoon at a funeral service that we're going to ask you to attend. 2 o'clock this afternoon at our Springdale campus on the south side of the campus. 25 minutes, 30 minutes, and you'll be gone. We've been talking over the last few weeks and sharing with you that we live in a fallen and sinful world, and that people will act accordingly. Meaning what? Their choices will affect you. Many times their choices will damage you, just like our choices personally have damaged other people. We also have talked about how we reap what we sow. I really believe that this element of reaping what we sow is that we just make choices sometime that do not end up good. We've all done that. Surely you would know that and would own it. I believe when you really evaluate the subject of forgiveness, one of the most difficult things in the world is forgiving yourself. It's really forgiving yourself, because you know what? As you mature in life, you wake up and you realize, man, there's a lot of stuff that goes on. I got myself here. No one else. I own it. We've also taught you that one person can affect other people. A person's choice can affect other people. And so many times, that not only happens resulting in all that we reap, but also it happens when we do the same. Many of you have families that have been wrecked, challenged, and destroyed because of the choices of other people. Perhaps a father, a mom, perhaps a spouse. The analogy could go on and on and on, because we live in a very broken, sinful world. From the best of us to the worst of us, we have had hurt in our lives, we have had loss in our lives, sorrow in our lives, despair in our lives, and pain in our lives. None of us are exempt from any of that, and as long as we live on this earth, we will experience that. I said this just a while ago, and hope you never forget it. Hurt people, hurt people. Forgiven people, forgive people. The scripture over in Hebrews 12 challenges us to two simple, clear actions. They are clear and they are simple. And today I'm going to share those actions with you. I'm going to be clear, I'm going to be simple, and I'm going to be brief. The first action is built upon the word choice. We live in a culture that so loves to parade the power of choice. Choice. Well, the choice is very clear in the book of Romans. We will either pursue peace with everyone and holiness before the Lord, or we will ignore the grace of God and we will develop a bitter spirit and we will hurt many people. That's the choice. And the question is, what will be your choice? The scripture here says that we should pursue peace with all men. That word pursue means to run after, to chase after. For those of you who are hunters, that's what it means. It means to hunt after peace with all people. That peace that we desire means harmony between people, harmony between two parties of people. We should all desire harmony and peace. Romans chapter 12 challenges us in verse 18, for it says, if possible, on your part, live at peace with everyone. Even the book of Hebrews says in the 10th chapter, the chapter we read a moment ago from chapter number 12, even it says that we are to pursue. In other words, we have to take action. It's not about who is offended by this or whose fault it is that we should hunt after peace with great intentionality. We should do everything at all costs to go after peace with all people. Peace doesn't mean that we do it at any price. It doesn't mean that we are going to negotiate that which is truth, but we don't need to go after peace trying to make a point. It's not about making a point. It is about, with all you are, trying to live rightly before people. Because you see, when you do that, then the rest of chapter 12 of Hebrews, in that verse, in verse that we read a moment ago, it will come alive, verse number 14, and that is that we will do it because we will seek holiness at the same time. Holiness is holiness before the Lord. That means that you are going to draw near to God, and you do it with a clean conscience. A clean conscience. Each one of us should seek to have a clean heart, a clean conscience before God. The Bible says that as we do this, we do it so that we can see the Lord and so that others can see the Lord through us. In verse 15, it tells us, see to it, meaning that we have got to watch over our own heart. If you don't watch over your own heart, usually no one else will. But it not only says the importance of you watching over your own heart, it talks about us watching over the hearts of other people. It says that if we do not do what verse 14 says in pursuing peace with everyone and holiness before the Lord and calling ourselves to account, we will live where we are falling short of the grace of God. Falling short of the grace of God doesn't mean that we will lose our eternal salvation, but what it means is that we will live ignoring the grace that has been extended to us. We will live coming short of the grace that God has extended towards us. Here was the point, that if we do not be constant receivers of the grace of God and abound and live in the grace of God, then we will not be able to extend grace toward other people. And part of extending grace toward other people is pursuing peace with all men and pursuing holiness to God. Because you see, you cannot be holy before the Lord if you've got constant disruption and for unforgiveness about people or things in your past. In the situations of life. And when we permit that to take place and we live falling short of living in that grace of God, he challenges us, don't do that, because if you do that, a root of bitterness will take place in your life. And he said, see to it that no root of bitterness occurs in your life. What is that root of bitterness? It is that which is deeply in your heart, deeply in the depths of your being, that you have not forgiven, that you have not released, that you have not, as the word itself means, you have not sent it away. And do you realize today that when you tolerate unforgiveness. When you tolerate unforgiveness, what occurs is that bitterness doesn't take years to happen, but it can begin in hours. When you tolerate it for hours, the bitterness begins. When you tolerate it beyond hours and it moves into days, then it gets deeper. And when you tolerate it for days and it moves into months, and many of us years and years and years of stuff that we have held on to, that we have refused to unpack in our lives, then all of a sudden it just shows up in our lives and it springs forth. And it springs forth. You know what the scripture here means? It means it springs forth with a bitter gall. And it produces a bitter fruit in your life. Because a bitter root has the opportunity to produce one kind of fruit. A bitter fruit. Remember, when we hold that, it affects the way we see ourselves. The way we see life, it affects everything about us, and pretty soon it affects our countenance, it affects our eyes, it affects the way we see all. And the scripture here says that once that bitterness takes root, listen to what it says. It says it will cause trouble, and by it will defile many people. That means that it causes trouble personally and to the person who has that bitterness or unforgiveness in them. It is bitter. It is bitter to the point that it makes other people bitter around you. It's the kind of things, you know, we've all dealt with it. We say that we're over it, but yet we can't shut up about it. We say we've worked through it, but yet it still hounds us. We say that we've unpacked it and we dealt with that past issue, but yet still it so clouds everything we see and everything we think about. It's hard for us not to always return to that same old deal in our lives. And it affects and it influences, listen to this, not only you, but those around you. And that's exactly what Hebrews talks about in chapter 12. It said it affects you and everyone around you. And I want you to listen to this. Not only you, but it can affect generations of you. I promise you there are many of you that carry the stuff, the impact of generations before you. And if you ever really looked in depth at your genealogy regarding righteousness or sin, I promise you that there's a lot of stuff in you that's not pretty, that's not good, and it's in your genealogical line. Well, I'm telling you today, at the cross, the curse was reversed. And today needs to be a day that you refuse to let generations after you have to pack around your junk. Enough is enough. Let it stop today. Let it cease today. If you don't, you will pass it to your children. And while you may think you manage it effectively and you handle it, it may literally destroy them. When in reality, we can live destroyed, not even know it for a long time. It just has gotten so used, it's like a backpack after you've carried it a long time. It doesn't affect you near as much as it did when you first started. You carry it a little bit longer, and you just keep adding to the pack. You see, the choice is clear, and here's what the choice is, and I want you to see it before you today. You will quickly run after living in peace with everyone, drawing to God with a clear conscience, or you will hold on to unforgiveness that will turn quickly into a malicious and a malignant bitterness that poisons other people. Which one will it be? The choice is clear. It's a clear choice. Either you're going to deal with this part about running after peace and living with peace and with everyone and drawing near to God with a clear conscience, or it's going to wrap around, it's going to bite you. Because if you don't choose that God's way, you're holding on to that unforgiveness, and it will sooner or later turn into a malicious and a malignant bitterness, and it will not only poison you, but it's going to poison everybody else. That's why you see kids today have attitudes just like mom and daddy. Parents hate to admit it, but it's true. Every time you dump around your kids, you better remember, they're going to hear you, what you say. They're going to wear what you wear. And they're going to pack it generationally. You know, when I think about that word malignant, I think about cancer. Can you imagine what it would be like if tomorrow you went to the doctor and the doctor told you that you had a malignant tumor the size of an apple located in your gut, in your stomach area? And he told you need to get it out immediately. You think you'd want to have surgery, or you think you'd just let it sit? Which one? I promise you, as much as you would not want it to interrupt your life, and you might be scared for your life, you would say, yes, would you please do that? And You would schedule that surgical procedure as soon as you possibly could. It doesn't matter how it would interrupt your life. You would not even try to accommodate it because the hour was urgent and the need was great. But here's the sad reality. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of us pack around, live with spiritual malignancy again and again and again that is far worse. It's something that could just take my physical life. It's absolutely eating away my spiritual life and my spiritual being. I want you to notice a graphic on the screen today. I call it the wall of unforgiveness. I'm telling you, the wall of unforgiveness is powerful, and there are so many walls of unforgiveness in each one of our lives if we really investigate it deeply. I mean, really get in and let the Holy Spirit deal with us, man. We might find stuff in there where there's not just one wall, but there may be several walls. Let me tell you about this wall of unforgiveness. The longer you let it live in your life, the taller that unforgiveness goes. Watch the graphic. The longer you leave it in your life, the deeper that wall of unforgiveness goes. And the longer you let it get taller and deeper, the thicker it becomes, and it fills your life. And it can be absolutely catastrophic. You see, all unforgiveness eventually turns into bitterness, and it turns you into being colder in your life. It turns you into having a more calloused heart, a little more unforgiving heart. Not a whole lot bothers you emotionally. It dampens, it quenches the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life. Exactly what we talked about earlier in the series, that it makes the Holy Spirit sad. He becomes extremely grieved when he sees this in our lives. You see, when you permit unforgiveness to hang around you, I want to show you what happens. You see, you began to live life with a set of glasses on, and everything changes the way you see it. And you just live life this way. I mean, everything you see through these glasses, and I want to make it clear, this is a lot different than this. This changes everything, because when I see things like this, I begin to justify my actions. I began to marginalize the situations. I began to rationalize the situation. I began to blame that situation when I'm wearing these glasses, because that's what the wall of unforgiveness does. Because of what's in my heart, it will eventually affect the way I see everything. And isn't it amazing that the longer I carry that unforgiveness in my heart, the darker the lenses become and the messier they become? I had this thought. Listen. If this is the way I see life through my eyes, and how tainted and bad it is, messy and dark, just imagine how dark and messy my heart is. But forgiveness changes everything. It gives me clear eyes. It gives me a clean
heart.
You see, you choose to decide how you're going to walk through life with clear eyes and a clean heart. Are everything shaded to you? All the stuff comes right through these eyes. And the longer you hold it in, the dirtier, the messier, and the darker you see things in your life. The choice is clear. And only you can make that choice. No one else can. That brings about the importance of this second action this passage really calls us to, and that is to make a decision. Decision. Right now you will decide. Oh yes, you will decide. You will run after peace with all people and for it. Hunting it down, having a clean conscience before God, wanting to be holy before the Lord, or else you will not. You see, the decision today is clear. I'm calling you to execute, forgive, release, and send away all of your unforgiveness and to draw near to God with a clean heart. I'm asking you to choose God's way, not your own. I'm asking you to literally unpack it all and unload your unforgiving heart today.